All right, we are back at it on the Saturday show on 97.5 at the KSL Sports Zone. This is Michelle Bodkin, your Utah Utes insider for KSLSports.com, hanging out in Providence, Utah today at the Macy's. Come on and stop by, say hello to me. I have a $50 gift card for the first person that comes on over to say hi. So I want to give that away. I want to help you get your tailgate ready for the Utah State-Colorado State game happening tonight at 8 p.m. Now, we are welcoming on Jake Scott. He will help me finish out this show. But first, as I promised yesterday, Jake, technical foul.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you hear me? Michelle.
Hello. All right. Here we go. Hi.
Oh, there he is.
Michelle, first of all, it is wonderful to hear your voice. I'm so happy to be on the show, and I'm so happy that you saved me a technical foul, because I'm actually going outside of the world of sports. This is an adjusted technical foul, because I'm so bent about it.
Okay. Let's hear it. I'm
technical foul,
now.
And I'm not going to call out any jurisdiction in specific, because I'm not going to put people on blast. But how about parking enforcement? I'm going to go with technical foul on parking enforcement. I came right here from my daughter's soccer game. Shout out to my daughter, Sadie. Banged home a goal today, Michelle. I'm so proud of her. She played best game. I'm so fired up. And her team, you'll love her. Her team name today was the Dragon Mermaids. So shout out to the Dragon Mermaids, who had a killer game. But then, you know, I go to my car to hustle over here, and I guess, I mean, technically, maybe I was illegally parked. But anyway, a whole line of cars, Michelle, like 20 cars parked in this spot. And we got parking tickets.
Only one?
No. All 20 got it. But listen,
at least all of you got it.
But listen, like 1,000 people descend on these youth soccer fields, right? There's youth football, youth soccer. It's all going on. There's no, like, they obviously don't have enough parking. This is not like a dangerous spot. Like 20 cars parked there. I mean, is the budget crunch that bad? You got a ticket? Like, let's not worry about it. It's all right. It's cool. We don't have to ticket everybody. We don't have to come out here and make our city budget on the poor parents trying to just watch soccer. So technical foul to that. Be reasonable. Come on.
Do you have any heart?
Thank you. Like, we're just parents trying to support our kids, for crying out loud.
So and do you know the cost of supporting your child? I can't afford that ticket.
Amen. Man, so yeah, I am
so speaking out of turn. I know nothing about raising children or how expensive it is.
Well, let me tell you,
Michelle, I'm going to fight for you.
We deserve some sympathy, so I appreciate yours, but technical foul right there.
So Jake, yeah. Just before we actually get into the more like sporty stuff, how often do you get a ticket?
Oh, very rarely. I'm a by the book driver. I'm a slow driver.
Model citizen.
I honestly like it's not worth it to me to be like a speeder and I don't mind hoofing it a little further for to not get parking tickets. But obviously today I made a mistake, so I don't get tickets often. Maybe that's why I'm bent about it. You strike me though, Michelle, as a fast driver. You getting pulled over all the time for going 90?
I have only been pulled over twice.
Oh, good for you.
The one time was complete BS because I was actually trying to merge onto the freeway.
So only one time deserved. That's not bad.
Well, and the other time I was pulled over, I did not actually get a ticket for that.
Oh, look at you. So you're a good driver. You're a safe driver, too. Proud of you.
I'm a good driver. I've never been in a car accident, knock on wood. I'm a good driver. I'm a good driver. I do kind of like driving fast, though.
All right.
Not going to lie.
But strategically,
I'm a good driver. Yeah. I'm very strategic.
All right.
One of my ex-boyfriends called me Baby Danica one time.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm that girl. But anyway, so I asked Ben this question.
Okay.
I'll ask it to you too.
All right.
To kind of kick off the more sports oriented part of this conversation. Yesterday it came out, John Canzano reported on Taylor Randall's involvement in the $50 million counterquote to ESPN after they offered the Pac-12 30 mil per school. What was your takeaway from that article, from that reporting?
Oh, Michelle, I'm so, like, I was so excited to do the show with you today because this is a great topic. I was so disappointed this broke after my show yesterday, and then I was like, oh, man. But I'm coming on with Michelle tomorrow, so no worries. We got plenty of time. I've got so many thoughts, Michelle. I'll start with, first of all, how hilarious is it that Utah's president was the unmentioned bozo president that pushed the $50 million? I just thought, how funny is that? I mean, for that to land locally right here in our lap. And yeah, I think, you know, in this circumstance, Ben touched on this a little bit, but you know what? Academics making these types of decisions, I mean, are we surprised that they get stuff wrong? I mean, the Pac-12 got a lot of stuff wrong.
Yeah.
And I'll get more nuanced into Taylor Randall's errors or lack thereof here in 1 second. But, you know, are we surprised that television execs are better at this than university presidents? I know Taylor Randall has some business background, and that's why, interestingly enough, he was listened to a little bit more in this whole thing. But, like, you know, some of these professors and then deans and then moved up, you know, English backgrounds, econ backgrounds.
Right.
I mean, let alone playing the politics game of advancing through the university system, which I'm sure is a skill in and of itself.
Not necessarily conducive to negotiating.
No. Well, not TV deals anyway, you know, not. And I think academics in general get lost in their own. Well, I know, you know, I'm a professor. I know these sorts of things. They get lost
Are
in that
you
sort of
really,
thing.
Jake?
You know what I mean? Like you're a professor. You're not necessarily in the real world, right? Or not in the, you know, TV execs are doing this all the time. They're running all these numbers.
Yeah.
Academics aren't. They're in their, well, this is how it should be. Their theories and that sort of thing. And it doesn't necessarily align with what's actually going on. And I think this is a case of that. I mean, listening to a professor or I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around. We can get down to the consultants that George Klyavkov hired. But
Oof.
Let me say that I think Taylor Randall handled this news. I'm not saying he handled the situation right, but he handled this news really well. That Canzano called him, he gave a statement, he gave some nuance to his side of the story. He didn't hide from it. He didn't lie. I'm sure this isn't his best day. He's not really stoked about this news being public. But I thought as far as the way he handled it in interacting with Canzano, I thought he did. That's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, face it, face on. This is what's happening. Here's my statement about it. Here's my side. He didn't hide from anything. I actually really appreciated the way he handled it.
I will say I thought it was kind of interesting because what we were always led to believe, and again, this is one side of the story, and we kind of heard the other side of the story from ESPN beforehand, is that the Pac-12 demanded the 50 mil per school, and that was the end of the conversation. At least from the Pac-12 president's perspective, it sounds like the 50 mil was just meant to try and be a negotiating cushion, right? You ask for more than you know you're going to get in order to land on the number you really want, which it sounds like that was around 40 to 45 million. Somehow, at least that's the perspective I'm taking, it got lost in translation somewhere, and people got offended and walked away from the negotiating table. I don't know if people are covering their butts. I don't know if George Klyavkov bungled, you know, what the president's really meant or took it upon himself to say something completely different than what they meant. All I know is what a freaking mess.
Oh, what a mess. Well, here, this is why Randall was smart to get out in front of it for the exact scenario that you're laying out, Michelle, because that conversation that went on between the CEO group and George about negotiating strategy and value is the crux of this whole thing, this whole particular part of the story, right? So Randall can get ahead of it and say, oh, well, I just told him that was the jumping off point for negotiation. I didn't think he was going to tell ESPN to stick it. And then what happened was George went in there, said, we want 50. ESPN said best and final, and George said get bent. So was that George going rogue, or did the CEO group really say don't come out with a penny less than 50? According to Randall, it was just a jumping off point. I bet you George would tell a different story, but that's why it's smart for Randall to get out in front of it. And I could buy, I could see that. I could see Kliavkov going in there and said, well, I'm going to play hardball with these guys and then just getting pantsed at the negotiation table. But also, I could see the CEOs totally misreading the room and saying go in there and play and take a hard line about it. I don't know if we're ever going to know the answer to that, honestly.
I think it's going to kind of, we're going to hear a couple of different versions of this story, and the landing point is probably somewhere in the middle of it, would be my guess. I have heard some conversations in the past about George Kliavkov and him not really understanding. Obviously, he has a great understanding of how like network negotiations, TV negotiations go, but not in the college football world. And that was his grave mistake. He had some people within the Pac-12 that were more familiar with that area that he butted heads with, and they ended up leaving. And, you know, he was just kind of left to figure it out on his own, and he figured it out wrong, was another version of this story I've heard. Again, it's so interesting. There's so many tentacles to this one. Well, and It's mind-blowing, really.
Well, they misread it all. I mean, like, the thing is, it doesn't let anybody off the hook. The presidents and the commissioner both created this mess together, and you can point fingers about who did what, but there's no doubt about it. Like, basics. Michelle, you and I are not, you know, high-level business people, but I think you and I even know that if you're negotiating with only one party – and there's really only one party to negotiate with, well, you don't really have a ton of leverage. I mean, ESPN, the mouse, was the only one who could give them even close to what they wanted. And that's evident by the Apple deal garbage that they tried to pull out at the end of this whole thing, which was completely untenable. I mean, ridiculous. It would have been a nightmare to take that whole thing. But if there's only one person to negotiate with, you have to know that. You have to know that ESPN is your ticket. I mean, you have to know where the market is going. You have to see, I know Ben brought this up and it's a good point. You've got to see that regional sports networks are folding, going out of business left and right. You got to think to yourself, man, things are changing. And then maybe the most egregious one, Michelle, is that the Big Ten was misreported on the value of their media network deal. It was not reported correctly. Kevin Warren fed bad numbers to the press. And so, and Canzano talks about this, right? That that's part of the reason they thought that they were worth 50. Well, if the Big Ten is worth this much, well then, you know, we've got to be worth this much. Well, you got to have the right intel, right? I mean, what are you doing just reading the newspaper? You got to know. You got to have sources. You got to have, listen, what are you paying consultants for if they don't know the answer to those questions? How do you get buffaloed by bad reporting and basically, you know, lies coming out of the Big Ten? How do you not confirm that? How do you not know that? See, that's where I was getting at with the whole academic thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not in the real world. You just read the newspaper. And so you go, if they're worth this, we got to be worth this. Well, you got to know that that's not what they got. And actually what's going on in the real world. And that's a mistake. You know, those reasons, I mean, they're excuses, but they're mistakes. Yeah. They need to know that. That's your job.
Yeah, those are, I mean, lots of monster missteps. Speaking of buffaloes, though, and the Apple deal, I mean, it's so, so fascinating. This is, you know, hindsight, looking at things. Everybody was so panicked about that subscribership. Now, this was before we've seen the TV numbers that Colorado under Dion has pulled out. Now, this is a world of hypotheticals, but what if Colorado didn't pull out so soon? What if Colorado stayed, stuck it out, they signed that agreement? Do you think that they would get that subscribership just based off of what's happening at Colorado with Dion Sanders? Because everybody wants to watch that show.
I'm going to say no.
You still think no?
No, and I'm bendable though. So talk me out of this if you're not buying.
Well, I want to know why you say no.
So here's the problem with the subscribing stream is that you only broadcast to the devoted fans. You're only broadcasting. The people who are subscribing to that for the Pac-12 are you and me, Michelle. They're people that are going to watch the games no matter what, right? Whether fans of teams or fans of the conference or media or whatever. Okay. We're going to be the customers for that. The peripheral fan, and this is the problem with the model, the peripheral fan is still flipping around on TV. You know, mm-hmm. The college football fan in Chicago is just flipping around the stations. And that's where the real interest in Colorado has come from. It's not millions of new Colorado Buffalo fans. It's I'm going to flip by the game to watch Dion. I don't think is getting your Big Ten fan to subscribe to Pac-12 football just to watch Dion. They're going to flip over to Big Fox, and they're probably going to stay with the game. But are they going to pay whatever it was going to cost to Apple to subscribe? No way. I don't think so. So I don't think maybe it moves the needle a little bit, but I don't think all of a sudden. I think Dion would get lost. I don't think he would attract more subscribers. I think his story would die quicker because nobody would watch
it. You think?
Yeah, I do.
Because I don't know. I just hear so many people talk about like their grandma that's never cared about football all of a sudden wants to watch Deion Sanders in Colorado. Like, it's been such a fascinating phenomenon. I don't know. I think it maybe could have pushed the needle, but alas, we're never going to know.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's not even a thing. It's not even a thing now. But I think it's an interesting thought exercise. Like, what if?
Well, Colorado was smart for parlaying at least the momentum that they had there into a no-brainer into the Big 12. I mean, the Big 12 didn't think twice about it. Colorado was the first to go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so at very least they maximized their value at the time. Even if the Pac-12 wasn't going to, they did.
There is something to be said for that, and especially, again, you look at how the Big 12 is looking at the moment. Who knows? Every year is different. But if we're going solely based off of what things look like this year for where everybody's currently at and try to forecast it to next year, Colorado might be sitting pretty in that conference.
Oh, I think the conference is wide open. I think you're right about that. But, ebbs and flows, right? The Pac-12 stunk for years, mm-hmm. and now it's great. So
yeah.
you really don't. Yeah, I know. What the Big 12 is missing is a big dog, and I don't mm-hmm. think that simply winning equates to that. They're missing a big brand.
Yeah,
like they're missing a big powerful brand, and Utah could win the league 3 years in a row, and they're just not going to be that for a variety of reasons. I don't think BYU would be that. I don't think, who would be a candidate to be that? It's not Baylor. It's not Texas Tech.
To me, I think the options are, you said Utah couldn't be. I think Utah's one. I think BYU, potentially TCU, Colorado. If none of those pick up their game and grow exponentially, yeah, it's going to be a huge question mark for that conference.
But, TCU was in the finals last year, and they're not it.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is something that takes some time, though, right? It's a process. I think of the bunch at the moment, Utah's the furthest along. But if they have a slip up, if things start going backwards on them on a consistent basis, then that's all for naught.
Well, the problem is it's just not all about winning. There aren't enough Utah fans. Like BYU generates more buzz than Utah does. Like I think BYU would be a better candidate than Utah would be.
I don't know about that, Jake.
Why? BYU has more fans, I'll tell you that.
I think yes, generally speaking.
And I'm not trying to take a shot at Utah fans. There's just a lot of BYU fans.
I mean, there's that inner church promotion thing that goes on. So yep. I don't totally disagree with that. But I do think Utah is a growing brand. They're a brand that's now getting recognized and respected in the SEC, and it's been a crazy thing to kind of watch and observe. They're a brand that's kind of growing and being respected in Big Ten circles because of some of the teams that they played. Now, I still think they have a ways to go. I don't think they're the end-all, be-all of college football. You know, there's still things that have to happen. They still have to continue being, I think, a top 15, top 10 team in the country year in and year out. If they can consistently keep doing that for another 5 years, you know, they maybe could be a Clemson-type brand, and that would be fantastic for the Big 12. But again, if you have setbacks, if people stop buying into the NIL end of it, and to be honest, we need to go to break. On the other side, we should talk about this, the NIL deal. I think that was a huge reason why that NIL deal came down the way that it did, is Utah has a vision and Utah has an idea of what they want to be. They see an opportunity and they're trying to take it. We'll see if it works out for them. Okay, we got to head to a break. Before we do that, though, come visit me at Macy's Grocery Store in Providence. Today's Saturday. I am here for about another half hour. Come see me for fun, prizes, and chances to win tickets to the Utah State, Colorado State football game, or a Macy's $50 gift card that nobody has come and claimed because no one wants to come say hi to me. This is really upsetting, guys. $50 to get your tailgate going for tonight. There's chances to win every hour. And don't forget, Macy's has you covered for all your tailgating and game day needs with items ranging from smoked meats to fresh cut fruits and veggies. Macy's, happy shopping. This is the Saturday Show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back into the Saturday Show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Michelle Bodkin here, taking you for the ride. And I have Jake Scott by my side. Well, actually not by my side. He's in studio. I'm up here in Providence, Utah.
I'm jealous, Michelle. Is it gorgeous up there?
It is so pretty.
Oh, I
have
bet.
This lovely view of the mountains, and they are just ablaze at the moment. So I'm not mad about this.
No. Are you going to hang out up there after the show? Are you going to see what Logan's all about?
Probably not. I need to get back and get some work done, but I think I will take a little bit of time and maybe stop and take some pictures of the canyon on my way back down.
Totally should.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It was so beautiful. If you haven't been up through this way, definitely do it. And definitely do it because I'm sitting here with a $50 Macy's gift card. Come say hi to me. Come get your tailgate ready for tonight, guys. Aggie fans, show out.
Where you at?
I am at the Macy's in Providence.
Go see Michelle. Get
$50.
Come on, $50. Crazy. Get over there.
Goodness gracious. So before we headed to break, we were kind of in the middle of an interesting conversation about brand building. And Utah did a very interesting thing this week. You actually had a chance to ask me about it yesterday. Now I get to put you on the spot and ask you about this. You know, what did you think of that whole NIL deal with the 85 leased trucks for Utah football?
I think it's good marketing. I don't like NIL, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are better ways to accomplish what they were trying to accomplish, but whatever it is, it's what we got. And the hypocrisy of the university isn't supposed to be involved, and the university's involved, and it just bugs me. But that aside, Michelle, it's good marketing. I mean, everybody's going to follow suit. I don't know. You know, it's about branding. It's about getting your name out there in association with NIL. Like, this is a school that values NIL. Recruits want to probably take note of that they know that they're going to get taken care of in maybe a cool way. I think the fact that they went with trucks, it was similar to Built Bar basically giving scholarships to walk-ons in a sense that it grabs a headline, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Wall Street
mm-hmm.
Journal wrote about the trucks. Who else wrote about it? I mean, everybody wrote about Utah giving their players trucks, and that's the win. You know,
I
think it's sad that Witt has to stand up there and beg for money. I'm sure he doesn't love that, but I mean,
I don't think many of the coaches like that.
Oh, I'm sure they all hate it. I'm sure they all absolutely hate it that this is part of their job now, that they have to fundraise even more than they had to before. I mean, I'm sure they absolutely hate it, but I mean, You alluded to it. Like, this is what you have to do now. So you can either be a stick in the mud like me and just complain about it, or you can get out ahead of the curve, which is what Utah did. So it's smart. So it was a good marketing move.
I just keep finding myself wondering, how do I get in on this NIL thing? You know what? I would love a truck or like a – well, actually, I don't want a truck. I will not drive a truck. Truck's too big. But like a free vehicle –
well, can we also say that they're not giving them trucks, which again,
it is a lease.
They're just leases. Lease. And I love it that you lose that lease as soon as you're not on the team.
I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair.
But it's not the reward that they're pretending that it is.
I mean, it kind of is. I think it helps out a lot, to be honest. You know how many guys I was driving around in my little 300ZX in college? Which, by the way, most of them did not fit in that car.
300ZX, sweet.
Yeah.
Fine. But, I mean, they're driving around a billboard. I don't know. I bet that, speaking of parking tickets, they're going to get a parking ticket every time they park. I don't know. It's fine. It's fine. But let me ask you this, Michelle. If you were advising a young athlete on where to go play football, and they came to you and said, "Well, if I go here, I get a truck lease," wouldn't you tell them, you should pick the spot that's best for you to succeed, to go to the NFL or to get a great education or to all sorts of things. If someone close to me said that I'm going to pick somewhere to go because of a truck lease, I'd call them crazy. I'd say that's ridiculous. There are so many more like long-sighted. And imagine if your nephew was picking between Stanford and Utah, and he said, "Oh, I'm going to take Utah because I get a truck lease." You'd smack him in the back of the head and say, "What's the matter with you? You're gonna make enough money to buy 10 trucks in 10 years if you go to Stanford." You know what I mean? Or like if someone's picking between Utah and BYU and they're a stud cornerback and they said, "Well, I'm thinking about Utah, but BYU has a better NIL deal," I'd say, knock it off. You go to Utah, you're going to be out on an island and you're going to be basically trying out for the NFL every time you take the field. And look at the long list of corners they've put into the next level. I don't care how much the Bill Barr money you're going to get. Go somewhere else. I don't know. I don't like it. If somebody's making a decision based on a truck, they should reevaluate their priorities.
I don't disagree with you there. I think it's something to partially be considered, but I don't think that should be the biggest part of your reasoning. It should be things like culture. It should be coaching stability. It should be development. It should be history of putting players in the NFL, NBA, graduation rates.
Yeah, it should be, I want to be a business student. And wow, I really like that business school. Like that's how it's supposed, the decision's supposed to be made, but we don't care about that crap anymore.
I don't mind that also, you know, it maybe gets weighed in a little bit. Are there things that help support me while I kind of put in this work? And again, that shouldn't be the complete and total juxt of why you decide to go somewhere. I think that's foolish. But I think, you know, noticing the support system, some of the things that can potentially help you get where you want to go by taking some stress off your plate is not a horrible idea. It just can't be the only reason.
Yeah, in concept, I hear you for sure. But you know what they know is that young people are dumb. And I'm not even saying that as that critical, because you know what? I was dumb too. Absolutely was dumb at that age. But they know, like, it's the whole philosophy behind Oregon's fancy uniforms. You know, like, oh, young people are dumb and they like flashy uniforms. So we'll have flashy uniforms and that will give us an edge in recruiting. And it's probably true. But how dumb is that? So they know that young people make big decisions for dumb reasons. And instead of like focusing on education, they lean into the dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not every player weighs the things that they should. And a lot of that, you know, is due to the support system, I think, that they have at home too, and the situation that surrounds them, unfortunately. You know, sometimes the best choices are not always made in the best interest of said player.
Yeah. Things are complicated.
And that's really unfortunate. And I do think NIL, you know, kind of throws another wrench in all of that that can be complicated. And, you know, I think we are going to see stories of players that make mistakes in choosing where to go for their college education. Because they get distracted, they and their family gets distracted by the shiny object. So,
but it's no longer about education.
I think that is a component.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not about education anymore. And I think that is a real shame. I mean, if you look at bettering people's lives, I mean, how many millions of people, and I'm using the word millions on purpose, have college athletics pulled out of poverty and given an opportunity to really succeed in life? And We're just losing track of all of that. People just don't care anymore. And Witt himself will tell you that. This is what was his prediction? The top 25 NIL schools would be the top 25 in the country. I mean, I don't necessarily think he's wrong, but I mean, I think that's a shame. I think young people are being misguided. And I get it that families struggle, and maybe this is a controversial opinion, but since when is it a college young person's job to support family? Like, they're not the adults yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's hard.
I think that's judgy on my part. That's the only way they see out.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. And I don't mean for that
It used to be that college education, that piece of paper.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I will say as well, I think that paper is kind of worthless anymore.
Oh, man, that's a whole new
society.
I know.
I'm getting into a whole, I'm opening a whole can of worms.
A whole new thing.
That loved my time in college, loved learning new things, really consider myself more of an academic than a jock by any stretch of the imagination. I think college is kind of worthless.
What was your major, Michelle? Was it communication or what did you do?
No, I'm a psych major.
Oh, I knew that, actually. Yes, I forgot.
Yeah, you did know that. I talk about it all the time.
I knew that, actually.
You did know that. Yeah, I'm a psych major. And here's the thing. I think my degree is actually really, really useful, but no employers value it.
Yeah.
Which is mind-blowing.
I hear you.
Like, I mean, really, in society, like, it's all about networking and reading people and understanding people and getting to know people, which is, like, what psychology teaches you to do.
Right.
And yet nobody wants to pay you for it. So it's everybody looks at you like, psychology degree. Like, what are you going to do with that? So and I always joke all the time that, you know, once the players and coaches find out that I am actually a psych major and I'm not really interviewing them, I'm psychoanalyzing them, they no longer want to talk to me anymore.
That's funny. Most people say that about a communication, too. I tell people that I was a communication major. I tell people all the time I'm like the one guy on the planet who actually uses it. I get where you're coming from, and that certainly the value of that piece of paper is, I don't think, going up. So I agree with you there. But as far as NIL goes, Utah's doing what they've got to do. BYU's doing what they got to do. I mean, I'm sure Utah State is doing as much as they possibly can. Right on down to Weber State, trying to compete. I just think it's unfortunate that this is where we are. You know, I mean,
I think it's unfortunate that this was put into place with like zero parameters. I think that's where it really, really went wrong.
Oh yeah, well now we're talking involving legislatures, Michelle. If we want to open up new cans of worms, but that's exactly what needs to happen. Is the federal government needs to get off its backside and figure out some parameters to rein in what is the wild, wild west. And what I would argue is not good for young people in its present form. It's just not. I mean, even down to opening the door to let boosters compromise players, you know, and compromise the team for that matter. You know, I'm giving this guy this much money and he's not getting touches and this sort of thing. I mean, it's not, you're right. It wasn't thought out at all. And it still isn't.
No.
And there's no way to do it unless the federal government does it. And I just, do either one of us see them agreeing on anything, let alone this?
you know, at this point, I think it's just, it's really hard to put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
it's
they
really
can.
Hard to put
oh, they
strict
can.
Rules on something
yep,
that
you're right.
you started out with no rules. I think there's going to be revolt. It's going to be really, college football is in such an interesting place right now.
It's a mess.
And Utah and BYU and Utah State, they're all in interesting places having to try and figure that out and manage that. I'm curious to see, you know, what ultimately ends up happening with all of these things and our teams locally here, because it could either go really well or it could go not very well.
Can I ask you a quick question? I know we're up against it and this
totally.
Requires way more time, but you're a great supporter, and you cover women's sports. And mm-hmm. up there at the U, you did great coverage on the basketball run this year, which was really fascinating. But if college football breaks off, right, which I'm personally not convinced isn't against the law, but let's mm-hmm. say they figure it out and that college football breaks off and they make basically another pro league, that's how many scholarships that football disappears. So according to Title IX, that's what, probably 100 fewer scholarships for female athletes. You have any thoughts on that?
Ooh, you know what? I had, until you brought that point up, I had never considered that. What that would potentially mean for Title IX and making sure that women's sports are taken care of and well represented at universities. I would hope people would step up and do the right thing and continue to support and put forth effort in their women's sports, because I think there's also an interesting market there. I think last year was a great year, not just locally, but I think nationally, and people really recognizing and appreciating women's sports. College gymnastics is at an all-time high in viewership and interest. People love watching those young women do what they do. I think college women's hoops was at an all-time high last year. And I mean, let's be very honest and frank here. I thought their tournament was way more entertaining than what the men put forth. And I have theories and opinions as to why that is. But I don't know what you do in that case. You just put a whole thought in my head that I've never thought about.
Yeah,
and
think about it, Michelle. How many?
It's a little scary.
How many women's sports programs, I'm talking about entire programs, actually exist because they have to offset the football scholarships? Because it's required by law that they offset the football scholarships with women's scholarships. So how many actual programs is that? Because you think women's basketball is how many scholarships? 15 scholarships these days, fewer? You know, baseball. And those wouldn't be the first sports on the chopping block. But, I mean, we're talking like track and diving and field hockey and all these programs that really only exist because they have to exist to offset the football program.
Yeah. That is a whole mess that I would have to really, really put some thought into. Dang you, Jake.
Well, again, it's
Saturday. I don't want to think that hard. Jeez.
It might be because of Title IX. It might actually be illegal for college football to break off, which nobody talks about. If they form their own entity and all of a sudden there is no association between the university and the football program, other than maybe like the logo, I mean, I think maybe they could pull that off. But
hey, maybe.
But you know what? I'd be sick to my stomach. Title IX is a great law that has absolutely changed. I mean, sports, participation in sports, sports for youth. It is a wonderful, wonderful law that, I don't know, if we're trying to circumvent all that, are we really doing the right thing? And then if they succeed, how many women programs go away because they're no longer required to do it? I mean, I'm with you. I'd like to think that we'd keep it up out of the goodness of our own heart, but I'm also a cynic. I don't the universities don't usually do that.
Think about the dragon mermaids.
Think about the dragon mermaids. Yes. Yes.
The future little athletes coming out of the dragon
Please.
Mermaids.
I'm a girl dad, man. We got to think about this stuff. And you know what? It's really important. I'm saying that, you know, kind of jokingly, but it's really important.
It is important.
It's really important. And I'm really pro Title IX. I think it's been great for our country and great for sports. And so These are the things I worry about, Michelle.
And rightfully so. Again, you have a daughter that this potentially could affect somewhere down the road. And it's a serious conversation to be had. But perhaps in depth again another time, because we definitely need to get to a break here. Before we go, though, Utah State football fans, come to the Macy's Grocery Store in Providence today. I've got about 15 minutes here. I still have this $50 gift card. I don't know what y'all are doing. Come say hi to me. And come in for, you know, some fun prizes and a chance to win tickets to the Utah State-Colorado State football game later on tonight. Again, I have this Macy's gift card. Someone please come claim it. $50 to help you with your tailgate. And don't forget, Macy's has you covered for all your tailgating and game day needs with items ranging from smoked meats to fresh cut fruits and veggies. Macy's, happy shopping. On the other side, Jake and I are going to wrap this show up, get in maybe a few thoughts about Utah and BYU on their bye weeks. You are listening to the Saturday Show on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Okay, I think I get this. Welcome back, everybody. We are wrapping up the Saturday Show on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I do work hard for my money. Dang right I do. Absolutely. Michelle Bodkin, wrapping up your Saturday here in Providence, Utah, looking at these beautiful mountains. I am at Macy's. You have about 5 minutes, Aggie fans, to come and claim this gift card. Come say hi to me. $50 goes to your tailgate for the Utah State-Colorado State game tonight. I know that's useful to you. Come and say hi to me. I shouldn't have to even beg for this. Like, just come say hi and get the $50.
$50. Do it.
$50. It gets you somewhere. It's better than a kick in the pants.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Jake Scott here with me wrapping things up. You know, we talked a lot about Utah. Utah and BYU are on bye this week, which is why we are pumping up this Utah State game. I think it's pretty obvious what Utah needs to work on through this bye week. They need to get healthy and they need to fix their offense. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on BYU. Obviously, they got their first win in the Big 12 era. Against Cincinnati at home last week, riding into their bye week on a high note. What does this BYU Cougars team need to do this week?
Well, health is a thing for them too. And Ben Bywater, for example, was on the station earlier this week, says he should be good to go by TCU, which is terrific news. But my answer to your question, I think, would be figure out the run game because it needs to be better. It needs to be. And I know LJ, right, the freshman, I actually think he's doing a really good job and is proving that he's a guy. But they need more production, period, out of that position. And in fact, sorry, I'm trying to bring up exactly their statistics, but LJ Martin is 289 yards on the season, 4 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. You know, that's okay, right? I mean, that's a good baseline for him, but they've got to have someone else. I mean, Aiden Robbins has basically been a no-show, and maybe health has something to do with that, but Michelle, they are getting nothing out of anybody else, period, in the run game. And I think Keaton Slovis has been fine, but they need more. They gotta figure out how they're going to run the ball because they're going to have to put up a bunch of points to compete in the Big 12. And I think the passing game is capable, but they need more. They're not an air raid offense. They got to have something out of the run game.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that their problems are partially attached to the offensive line? Or are they just not getting enough push for those guys to kind of find holes and blow through?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a group running the ball. You know, that's a team effort.
Yeah.
Absolutely has something to do with the guys up front. And so, yeah, BYU's got to figure out how to open up lanes for those guys. And it's a lot easier when you have, you know, Harvey Unga or Curtis Brown or somebody, you know, all the great backs that BYU's had. But they got to help the freshmen out, give them a place to go.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Let's get to work, guys. Let's finish the last half of this season strong, Utes and Cougs. And, of course, the Aggies are looking for their first win in Mountain West Conference play. Again, taking on Colorado State today at 8 p.m. That will about wrap it up for me. Big thank you to Jason Jones behind the glass. Big thank you to our remote tech, Sean Croshaw, for making sure that all the equipment up here in Logan is working okay. And then, of course, for Ben Anderson and Jake Scott for jumping on and carrying the conversation with me today. This was fun, guys.
Michelle, you are the best. You say you work hard. You bet your bottom dollar you do. Appreciate what you do, and thanks for having me on. I was excited about it.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely have to do it again. Well, that is going to wrap things up for me here at the Macy's Grocery Store here in Providence. Again, come check them out. Get ready for the tailgate. Get ready for Colorado State later on tonight, 8 p.m. kickoff. Up here in Logan. You have been listening to the Saturday Show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.